stpete.com presents Job Talk with Dean Logan, live from our studios inside Big C in downtown St. Petersburg. Visit BigC.com to learn why top businesses turn to our experts to take their brands to the next level. BigC.com. And by Advanced Recruiting Academy. If you are underemployed, a college student, or looking for a career change, visit AdvancedRecruitingAcademy.com to learn about the art of recruiting. In 90 days, the master recruiters at Advanced Recruiting Academy will teach you the skills you need to begin a rewarding career in the recruiting industry. They do this for free, and students can earn commissions during their training. Visit AdvancedRecruitingAcademy.com, where they develop recruiters and deliver talent. Now, let's go live to Big C for Job Talk with Dean Logan.
Thank you, Joe Bordeaux, and welcome everyone to Job Talk, the only radio program in Tampa Bay dedicated to talking about jobs. I'm your host, Dean Logan, and we are broadcasting today from the Big C offices located in downtown St. Petersburg. I want to take this time to thank our sponsors, Big C and Advanced Recruiting Academy, for their support, as well as everyone working behind the scenes, especially Thomas, for all of their help. And for those of you tuning into Job Talk for the first time, you will learn that it's my goal to talk with the leaders of every employer I can in Tampa Bay, big and small, and in every possible industry, so that anyone considering moving their business or making a change in their employment will know what it's like to live, work, and play in Tampa Bay. All of my guests are making a positive difference in the community, and listening to Job Talk is a way to get to know them just a little bit better. Plus, it's been a lot of fun for me to talk with some great guests, and I've made a lot of new friends in the process. So before I introduce my guests for this week, I want to mention that if you want to view the website associated with today's program while listening, you can visit the studio at 620.org. You can also follow us live, as we can be seen on Periscope. You can view the stream by going to twitter.com/recruitacad and click on our live stream link. You can also add us on Periscope using the handle at AR Academy. So it's a pleasure to welcome my guest for the first time to the show, Mr. Bob Devin Jones, the artistic director and co-founder of the studio at 620, located in St. Petersburg, Florida. Welcome to Job Talk, Bob.
Thank you.
And so let me begin by thanking you for being here today. I've wanted to have you on the show for a long time, and awfully glad you're here today, finally.
Thank you, Dean.
And as always, I want to start the interview by letting the listeners get to know my guests on a personal level. So please give us a little history on yourself, and let's begin with, where are you from?
Well, I am from Los Angeles, and since arriving here 20 years ago, I would refer to myself as this dazzling urbanite in a up-south southern city. And then, as it turns out, that I saw Blazing Saddles recently, and I realized, oh, that's where I learned that phrase from. That's what Gina Wilder says to Cleveland Little. What is a dazzling urbanite like you doing? So I'm from Los Angeles, and I've been happily here for 20 years.
So what made you come out here?
The then artistic director of American Stage, Lisa Powers, invited me to come and direct a play that I adapted from Strindberg, Miss Julie, and that's how I came. And then my second day here, I went to breakfast at Chataway, and I met my partner there, and I moved here several months later.
Great. So before you got here, though, you did a lot of work in Los Angeles.
And also around the country.
You also did you were trained in London as well?
Yes.
So tell us about that.
Which part?
Start anywhere you want.
Okay, well, I'll start in London because they have great tea, great scones, great theater, and great cobblestone streets. I was young at the time. I was 22. But over the year and several months that I was there, I walked those streets of London every single day, even when it snowed a little bit at Easter. So it was an eye-opening experience, but my eyes were mostly open after I returned. You know, sometimes things can be so overwhelming, you don't really grok what the import of them are. You're just enjoying yourself. But I've learned a lot from that experience over the years.
Mm-hmm. And so did you study Shakespeare over there?
I studied Shakespeare and Chekhov and a lot of other things, but a lot of Shakespeare. And I primarily did Shakespeare when I got out of college in 1979.
Okay. So anyway, then you were California for a long time, and you're right outside Los Angeles too, right?
No, right in the heart of it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was. I spent a lot of time there myself. It was it's a great place to have lived, that's for sure.
Yes.
And so tell me, though, now, that I mean, what you got here, you know, what did you first do?
Well, I don't really recall, other than I know that I was home a lot during those initial months and even year or two, because I had a lot of assignments still that I had to fulfill, as mostly as a director and some as a writer, but mostly as a director. So I worked at the Kennedy Center. I worked at the Jiva Theater up in Rochester, New York, at the Jet Theater in Detroit, and in Sacramento, and in Ireland. And then, starting in the 2000s, I was sort of looking around, what's next? I had stopped acting at that point over a decade, so I wasn't... But initially, I thought, well, maybe I'll act again, you know, looking at what do I know how to do?
Mm-hmm.
But then things came, and opportunity presented themselves, and I ended up starting the studio at 620 with David Ellis.
Wonderful. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But I also want to talk about the great work that you've done in the community here. You're affiliated with some great organizations. You know, especially I know that you've worked with Academy Prep.
Mm-hmm. So, as a volunteer.
Yeah. And also the City of St. Petersburg Arts Advisory Committee.
Yes.
And you're also involved right now with the Public Art Commission. What do you... You have a pretty big task in front of you right now.
Well, the biggest task is adjudicating, through some sort of juried process, a art for the pier. And we're zeroing in on several artists. But the process is still open. People are still submitting. And then we'll make a decision and then present it to the mayor. And I guess the mayor will then present it to city council.
And what kind of art are you looking for?
Something delicious, something big. And that's a relative term, but there's a lot of real estate, not just where it will physically be placed, but just as you approach it, mm-hmm. In its context to the bay. And
so sculpture type of things?
Mostly sculptural, yes. Mm-hmm. But there are other areas along the pier approach, they call it the uplands, that there might be more intimate pieces.
Okay. And are those paintings? Or
no, they might be like, you know, fancy furniture that's kid or family friendly. Maybe a sculpture thing, a fountain, benches, any number of things.
Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, are there other kinds of arts like paintings, for example, anywhere throughout the pier?
Well, I don't know what's going to be in some of the individual places, because a lot of the pier, like there's the kayak shed, you could put a mural on that. I mean, art isn't any, I mean, we tend to separate it, but it really is in our everyday life. Everything we do has some artist or designer's hand in it. So even in that big expanse that's the pier, any number of things could even be an oral piece.
Interesting. I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds very great. And so when's the deadline to submit any kind of work?
It's ongoing. We've been currently looking at art for the last several months. But, you know, there's an Office of Cultural Affairs run by Wayne Atherholt from the city, and I would contact him. And then we have a project manager, which is Ann Wykel, and he would put you in contact with her. And then she brings those selections to the Art Advisory,
nice.
Public Art Commission, I'm sorry.
Okay, great. You also do work with Freefall Theater Company.
Yes, I'm on the board of trustees. I was one of the founding trustee members. Freefall is a perfect example of a creative industry that has, in I think it's 5, maybe 6 years, has been extraordinary in terms of the number of plays they do, the number of artists that they hire, and also its reach. They've gotten accolades nationally.
Great.
It's just been that good. And they did their very first show at the studio at 620.
Yeah. How long ago was that?
5, 6 years ago.
Nice. Okay. Wonderful. And you also do some work with Pinellas County Community Foundation?
Yes, which is the sort of a lot of great cities, great communities have community foundations, and they are like an umbrella organization that various members of the community or corporations can put, you know, lodge their cash in and then have it go to designated charities or into a general fund. So we have one, and it's very powerful and it's very diverse, and almost anybody can apply to it.
Mm-hmm. And you're also doing some work with your Warehouse Arts District Association.
Yes.
Called WADA.
WADA. Which is, I think that project is probably one of the most important things to happen in St. Pete, because it keeps, with its intent, affordable studio galleries in the heart of the city so that artists don't have to move away.
Right. Mark Ayling was a guest a while back on Jab Talk, and boy, he's done some great things with that.
And his shop is great.
Oh, yeah.
And he hires a lot of artists.
Yep.
You know, we tend to think, I mean, maybe it's with a bit of humor, people call them starving artists. Very few of us starve, and because artists know how to make a way out of no way. But Mark's studio, as several others, they employ a lot of local people to facilitate the work that they do, and Mark does a lot of big sculptures nationally.
Right. He did some work at the Sundial.
Yes, and those dolphins.
Yeah, it's really great. Every time I go by there, it's amazing and such great work. You also do some work with the Florida Craft Art.
I'm also on their board of trustees. Mm-hmm. One would say I'm a board baron.
Okay. And so what is the Florida Craft Art?
It's formerly the Florida Craft Art Craftsman. It's a statewide organization that has a diverse board of, you know, nonprofits. Are legally, they have to have a board of trustees.
Okay.
And they promote, they do classes, they support artists lofts above the Florida Craft Art, and they have great exhibitions. And, you know, in my view, it's a distinction without a lot of really thinking about. It's all an expression. In my view, you can call it a rush candle, you can call it creativity, but it's craft art. It's not, quote, fine art, but it's not a distinction that I make readily.
I see. And you had an interesting dinner the other recently.
Yes, the monks from Tibet were here, 8 of them, and their interpreter. And they asked me would I like to host them and make a dinner. And I said, absolutely. The answer is always yes, even in my personal machinations. And it was delightful because you're making and showing a group of men from off the hospitality of this extraordinary community.
Great. And why were they here?
They were here on behest of the Florida Craft Art, and they're on a tour, and they're raising money for their nonprofit back in their home and their homeland. And St. Petersburg, of course, was one of the stops along the way. And then that was really great because there was a lot of community support in giving them free vouchers for restaurants, giving them housing, etc.
Nice. Well, St. Pete's definitely a welcoming city, that's
it
for
is.
Sure. And also, you've won a lot of awards and grants, specifically from the Bank of America's Hero Award in 2005. You know, what was that award for?
Well, I guess the easy short answer was because I was a hero. Nah, it was because I was standing next to some heroes and sheroes. I think it was just, you know, everybody in the cultural ecology in our community is really great, and there's always an opportunity to get involved, to do something, and there's always a need. And so my personal answer, and certainly the answer for the organization that I co-founded, is yes. People like it when you say yes, and I like it. So I think that was it. And it also came with $5,000, and that's always nice too.
Great. Okay. And also, you won some awards from the Weekly Planet's Best of the Bay 2001 for directing, and 2002 for playwright. What were those works that you got those awards for?
One was from the Mississippi Delta, which was a play I directed at American Stage, and the other was for my first play, which is a solo work called Uncle Ben's, like B-E-N-D-S, Ben's but doesn't break, Uncle Ben's, a home-cooked Negro narrative. And in it, I play 12 different characters while I make beans and rice, which I serve to the audience at the conclusion of the play.
Wow. That sounds really interesting. That's great. You know, you mentioned David Ellis as the other founder of. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about his background too?
Dave was in the military. He married a Swedish woman, Astrid Ellis, and we were next door neighbors in the old Southeast on Beach Drive, across from Lassing Park. And my partner, Jamie Howell, knew that two artist friends of ours, Herb Snitzer and Carol Dameron, were looking for office studio space because the big office warehouse office studio space, Salt Creek, they believed was being sold. It turned out it didn't get sold when they thought, so they weren't looking to move. And so we found this space. Jamie ran around raising capital to purchase a mortgage. And Dave and I started in 2004 with an exhibition called Grandma's Hands, 100 Years of African-American Quilting. And wow. We had brunches, gospel brunches. We had sewing circles. We had poetry. And it was our very first thing, and it ran for a couple of months while we figured out what we were going to do next.
Okay. So my guest today is Mr. Bob Devin Jones, the artistic director and co-founder of the studio at 620. So let's talk about the studio at 620. When did it open?
Well, we had a groundbreaking June 20th, 2004, or 620, if you will, in the middle of summer, no air conditioning. The room was blessed by two artists. Well, group of artists. The first one was Dundu Dole, Urban African Ballet Company, and they came through the front doors playing their djembe and their congas and their drums, and that was beautiful. And then Sharon Scott sang a song called We Are Standing on Hallowed Ground. But none of us thought at that point we would be around 12 years later. We certainly didn't. It was an activity we were doing, and we were going to do it, but we didn't start with a business plan, and we certainly didn't have any long-range plans. But like a sax solo by Coltrane, we improvised it. We got a board of trustees. We made a dinner for 100 people at our friend Ron Hill and Noel Hill's house, and that's how we began.
And you've got some great entertainment there, that's for sure. So who came up with the name?
Well, we were going to call it, or we thought about calling it, Who's on First? Because we're on 620 First Avenue South. But we thought you'd get pretty cloyed with that after a while. And then I thought, well, let's call it the studio at 620. That's our address, and we're a studio. So you might see things in process, in progress, or very finished, or very in the nascent stages. Right. And by calling it the studio, we stumbled on it, or I stumbled on it, but it's worked out for us very well. Everything that you may see at the studio won't be polished like a Fabergé egg, but hopefully it pulses with life, with an energy, with a greediness, with an appetite for life, so we stay hungry. We get grants and things like that, but the continuous hero in all of our existence has been the community.
Mm-hmm. So what is your mission?
The mission succinctly is to be an emphatic yes in the community, which means opportunity. But we have a mission. It's to work with innovative arts so that there's an experience for the audience and the artists, to bring people of diverse cultural backgrounds together, to do educational programs. That's our stated mission, and that's on our website. But mostly the mission can be summed up, because it is our mission and it is our philosophy. The answer is always yes.
Nice. And do you remember what your first event in an exhibit was?
Oh, yeah, I told you, Grandma's Hands.
That was
Grandma's Hands, used to issue out a warning. You know, that's the Bill Withers song. We took that title because we had these quilts, two of which dated from the Civil War era, and some from Gee's Bend, and we just expanded it. We had three gospel brunches in conjunction with Terry Scott and Moselle Davis and some other folk. Okay. And we had, it was a very, and we've tried to live up to bringing diverse programming together in order to create a new something.
Nice. And you also rent space there.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so if an artist wants to, or how does that work?
Well, we don't necessarily rent space to artists.
Okay.
Because we have a curator, Kenny Jensen, and he's the gallery curator and the studio manager. But we rent space for, like, if you, Dean, were to get married or get remarried or affirm your marriage vows, if any apply, you'd call us up and say, we'd like to book the room. And we'd say, for how many hours, what day of the week? And we'd find a day that's appropriate. Then we'd charge a tariff. And I said, you know, we have tables and chairs. We have a caterer's kitchen. Nice. It's air-conditioned. We have lights. We have audio projection and all that.
Oh, great.
And it's a good revenue stream for us because not all art shows bring in revenue. Sometimes it's a fabulous show, but we don't always sell paintings, and that's fine, but we sell a fair number of them.
Okay. So let's talk about what's happening at Studio at 620 now and over the next several weeks. And let's start with Connections by Tyler Staggs. It's running, I think, from February 11th through March 3rd. What's that about?
I believe it's his first solo show, and it's a very personal show. It's very colorful. It's very whimsical, very accessible. He's going to do a workshop at the on the 3rd of the upcoming month. We've already had the opening. There are hundreds of artists here in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
And so we do either close to 16, 18 shows a year, plus some shows stay up a month, some stay up 2 weeks, some stay up 3 weeks. But it's and some are group shows, so then we can get 8 or 9 artists. We have an upcoming photographic show that has 7 artists in it, or 6, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And last night was Wordier Than Thou. It's a monthly short story open mic.
Yes, and Wordier Than Thou is not an open mic for poetry, but for prose and journalistic efforts or novels or memoirs or something like that. So it's the long form, but it's a monthly thing. We've been doing this with Tiffany at least 4 years. So that's the other great thing about the studio and having some bricks and some mortar. Everybody gets to rebuild the structure every other time they come in there with whatever it is they want to do. One time we had some young kids come in, young people, I don't want to call them kids, and they said, we want to do some documentaries on skateboarding and longboarding. Sure, get in here. So Coralette, Dam, hooked that up, and we had 70 people show up. And that was 70 people who thought they needed to be at the studio to watch 2 documentaries about skateboarding.
Nice.
So we're delighted that that's part of our mission, and our board understands that, and much of the community, because they continue to show up.
Right. And you mentioned poetry, and tonight is actually Poetry Open Mic, and that's hosted by Keep St. Pete Lit.
Yeah, that's Maureen McDowell. She is the founder of Keep St. Pete Lit. As I told you, she has a pop-up bookstore at the Morian Arts Center. She's part of Fantastic and Frastic, which I'm doing this weekend at the Softwater Laundry, which is 16 artists, and then you get 16 writers to be in. They can be inspired, or they can write about the art, and then I find 16 or some number of readers to interpret that, and that's open to the public at Softwater Gallery.
Where is that?
That's in the Warehouse Arts District on the Deuces. Mark Ayling, among other people, run it.
Okay. Great, and that's right off the Deuces 22nd Street?
22nd Street and about 6th Avenue South.
Nice. Yep, it's what a great area that is, too.
Yes.
There's so much going on there. It's wonderful. So, honestly, on February 24th, you've got Dancing Like Home, directed by Joyce Guy.
Joyce Guy is a filmmaker from Los Angeles. This is her documentary filmmaker in search of, you know, it's one of those picaresque journeys where one wants to find the source of one's power and one's creativity, and she made this award-winning documentary. She's flying in tomorrow on the red eye, so she'll be here Friday morning just before 6 a.m. Now, I have the choice to collect her or send a Uber, and I'm just not knowing what I'm going to do, because to be there at 6 a.m., you got to get up at least 5:15. So we'll see. But she's coming in. It's a beautiful film. It takes her back to Africa, and we're showing it in connection with the Black Arts festival that Carla Bristow is putting on at on the Deuces at Gallery 909 on Saturday. And this is sort of the kickoff.
Where's the gallery?
909? Yeah. On the Deuces around where Chef's Creole Cafe is and right near the Carter G. Woodson.
Okay. And that's a great cafe, by the way. Yes. That's some really good food.
The Bray Boys are godsends to us culinarily. Oh, no, just food. They know how to serve.
A nice atmosphere,
food.
Though, too.
Yes.
Yeah, they're so friendly. Also, let's see, on the 25th, it looks like you have a Roy Book binder in concert.
Yes, and that's in association with Jeff Shore over at the Florida Craft Art. He's a musical impresario. He has concerts in his craft art gallery, and he has this festival, which this year the studio is a part of, and Bookbinder is going to be there. I guess, is that this weekend or next?
The 25th. Yeah, this weekend.
That's this weekend.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, it's part of the Sunshine City Songwriters Festival.
Yes.
Has that been going on a while?
I know at least a year because he had one last year. So it might be 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. So there'll be other venues. But it's a lot of Americana roots music, folk music, troubadour-type music. Some of it could be electric. Most of it could be acoustic. Some of it could be even shape note singing, which you don't use an instrument at all.
So these festivals are really expanding here in the St. Pete area.
Oh, the place is lousy with festivals. You can't swing a cat without running into a festival. But that speaks to just the creativity. You know, what makes St. Pete special, and the First Nations people knew that, it's the dirt. It's magical. That's why they built their mounds here. It's the quality of the light. Not on a day like this, which is overcast, but yesterday, extraordinary.
Yep.
And then maybe, I don't know where the Fountain of Youth, but the Fountain of Good Living is somewhere in this Tampa Bay area.
Okay. You know, you also do Radio Theater Project Live, which is a monthly live-action radio drama.
Yes.
That's going to happen this February 27th, that Sunday, I think. What's that all about?
Radio Theater Live was started by Mimi Rice, now headed by Bonnie Agin, and we take specifically created for radio dramas or adapt them, and we do them live over the radio. We used to do this in partnership with WMNF. Now they're in the cloud, so it's above us, and podcasts, I think that's what they call them. But we get about 100 people once a month to come watch it because we have a Foley orchestra. I call it an orchestra.
Oh, really?
That's Matt Cowley doing
the Foley?
Yeah.
Which is all the sound effects.
Yes,
lightning. Yeah.
Lightning, thunder is always good. Walking,
yeah.
Falling, slapping, drinking.
I was going to ask about that. Sounds great.
So he's a genius on the Foley,
and can,
Matt Cowley.
Can they listen live at that?
You can listen live by showing up.
Right.
Or you can listen on the podcast in the cloud, and I assume that means above us.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, you've got some other things that are going on, too. The rubber stamp carving class is taught by the crafty hag,
she, we like to do educational programs, and we like, you know, them to be accessible to the community. Not everything humans do in life can be grafted, like you go to see Vivaldi and then you walk out of the auditorium and you do what? Well, you just feel good about yourself. You might feel good about your community. You might feel good about life. And you can't always graft that or say that iterates back to this. What you do know to be true, though, civilizations are not necessarily judged, but we excavate what they did. You know, we can extrapolate out of our experience and we create art. Other mammals don't necessarily do that to our understanding. And so that's why we offer these classes, and we offer variety classes. Coralette's a fine artist and a craft artist. She has the crafty hag, and she is known for her prints. And so a lot of people like to do that. She likes to teach it. We charge a nominal fee, and the supplies are there, and, you know, let your mind create.
You have another workshop coming up on March 5th with Tyler Staggs again, a painting workshop.
Yes, and you'll get to be with him, hear what informs his exhibition, which is called Connections. I can say without fear of contradiction, it'll have something to do with how we connect, interact, occur with each other as humans. One of the nice things about running the studio, and certainly over 12 years, we've had hundreds of artists. All humans are good, and some of the best humans that you'll meet on a Thursday or a Friday or a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday are these artists, because they're focused, and generally they're focused on their art, which is informed by their life. So you get the art plus the life, and it's really a great combination.
Right. You also have a Philip Charles Quartet coming in on March 7th. What kind of music is that?
It's going to be improvisational jazz, which that's a wide aperture, but this indigenous art form is a wide aperture. And I'm really excited to hear it because Philip used to work with us, but not as an artist, just doing the heavy lifting. And there's a lot to do at the studio. That's why volunteers are great. But now he's come back, and he's coming with his quartet, and I think we're going to have some ear candy.
That'll be nice. You have a photography exhibit coming up. It's called Here and There in March, from the 10th through the end of the month.
Yep.
And what kind of exhibit is that exactly?
Well, it's a photography exhibit, and it's got, I think, 6 to 7 different photographers around an organizing thing of, let's see what's good with that. So it's not a theme show or, you know, the forest or urban decay or urban rejuvenation or the decay of the heart or the rejuvenation of the heart or love stinks or love kills or love exalts. It's just, you know, snap, being present to take how you got that picture. So that's good. I like group shows because you have a variety of artists to see, so that's a whole different narrative for each artist. Right. And then you also have, you know, the 5 different people and how they occur and how they speak about their life and this moment. So that's always a great thing for the studio. And then also 6 or 7 people, you tend to get really large numbers coming to see the openings.
Nice. And you also have a dance company, Collective Souls Dance Company, coming on March 24th and 25th with a thing they're calling With Love.
Yes.
What kind of show is that?
Well, it's With Love.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. It's a dance from Alex Jones, no relation. He's an extraordinary dancer, and I went to his studio in Tampa. And he's done a number of shows with us. He's been on our brochures. He did this one that had half the audience in tears. Dance is one of those, I call it one of the plastic arts, and by plastic I mean it's so malleable. It can, the day you see it, the moment you see it, it's there, and then it's no longer there. So it then has to live inside of you. And so this dance with love, I'm sure, is how he proceeds through his practice and his life. And what I saw of it, it's going to be quite delicious.
Nice. Also, in April, I think the entire month of April, you have a big thing you're working on called Voodoo Macbeth.
Yes, this is going to be the last thing you ask me about?
It is.
Oh, great. Well, Voodoo Macbeth is a play by William Shakespeare. We put the voodoo in front of it because we hope to put the voodoo in the play. And Orson Welles in 1936 for the WPA did a Voodoo Macbeth with John Houseman. We're doing this in celebration of the 400 years of Shakespeare's, they're calling it his legacy. What they mean is death, but he's never died. It's kind of ironic. He's the most performed playwright on the planet. Now, in this solar system, I can say that without fear of contradiction. There might be other solar systems where somebody else is more popular, but nobody is more popular in Japan, in France, in Portugal, in Spain, in South America, in Africa, certainly in the U.S. and certainly in England, than the Bard, as they call him. And so we're doing that with a cast of 22, and it's going to be the biggest thing the studio has attempted, and it's going to be, you know, it's devoutly to be wished that it's delicious.
And are you currently having auditions?
Well, we've had auditions, but we're currently taking submissions. We have a few more roles to cast.
Do you know, if somebody's listening, what kind of roles would they be? Any idea?
Oh, it could be Malcolm. They could be Macduff. They could be Seton. They could be Ross. And they could be a wonderful experience if you call the studio and see if we are still, you know,
looking for
creating that. The ensemble.
Okay, great. And just one a volunteer opportunity that you have over there is called Lunch Pals.
Well, Lunch Pals is something we are about to launch in conjunction with some other community partners. And essentially, so everybody can do it because everybody likes lunch. But you meet with a school with a student one day a week. And that's the commitment at the same time. So it's good for retired people, for people who have a steady situation, and for students. It's one day a week, 30 minutes.
That's great.
And it makes a world of difference.
Yeah, sure does. So you're listening to my guest today, Mr. Bob Devin Jones, the creative director and co-founder of the studio at 620. So now let's talk about jobs, Bob. Now let's begin with the opportunities you have. You mentioned you've got a need for volunteers at the studio. So if somebody was interested in becoming a volunteer, what kind of things do you have them do, and you know, how do they help out?
Well, for instance, we're going to be doing this Macbeth play, and several, maybe seven or eight students from Eckerd have called because it's part of how they matriculate through Eckerd that they will do some community service hours. And several of these students are volunteering hours. Some will work at the front of the desk, hospitality, or as greeters or admissions, or in the office, you know, doing our mailings and all of that. And they've offered. And each student can give up to 10. But several students said to us specifically they like to help with the Macbeth on the technical side of things. So that could be help building the set, help painting with props or anything like that. But most people volunteer through Sign Up Genius, doing admissions or hospitality. That's where we serve beverages and some kind of cookies or my cookies or cake or brownies, because you should have a little something.
So are there any basic qualities or qualifications that you might need, especially for that Macbeth?
Yeah, you have to be human.
Yeah, okay.
And the other one is, you know, be friendly. It's not a place to be unfriendly, and I think it's infectious. Not like a disease, but like a laughter. And most people who go out to anything cultural are looking to be entertained and have a good time. They're not looking not to. So we greet everyone at the studio before we say, do you have a reservation? Good evening. Thank you for coming to the studio.
Do most people need a reservation for these shows?
For some things. The play we just did with Joe Johnson sold out of several of the nights. He did five nights at the studio. So it varies.
Okay.
Some don't. Art shows, you don't need a reservation.
Okay. You know, related to jobs, you mentioned about your board. You know, are you looking to expand your board if there were some people listening that may want to join a great organization?
Well, this is where we're similar to every nonprofit in this lovely community. We need to build capacity around doing what we do better. So we take individuals, but sometimes individuals who are connected with a corporation can be, some underwriting. One of the largest grants we ever received was from the Doris Duke Charitable Foundation, $80,000 to do a program on Generation X artists and a mentor. And that was great. We do that sort of anyway, but this is the way to compensate the artists and the studio and the senior artists working with them because they're professionals.
You know, and that brings us to the interview tip of the week. So if somebody wanted to apply for a position at the studio at 620, what one piece of advice would you give them?
About applying to a job at the studio?
Yeah.
Be present. And whatever that means, for an individual, it could. And by being present, I mean, Hamlet tells his mother, assume a virtue if you have it not. And only if that's something you can maintain. If you're not a friendly person or likes to be involved with the public, we might not be a good fit because that's kind of what we do. But there are other things behind and backstage that you might be perfectly suited for. But all we would need to know is who you is, who you are, who you be. The person that you are shows up, not a facsimile of you. Like, I'm a people person. Really? Are you? No. Because some people like to keep their own counsel, and that's just fine. Some people are introverted. That's even better. But they still have the same passions and desires. They are just not in an overt way expressing them. So I say just be present.
Okay. That's good advice. You know, and I always like to get my guest's opinion about the talent pool in St. Pete and Tampa Bay area. So when you've had to hire people or look for talent, are you able to find the talent you're looking for?
Yeah, but that's... you have to, I think, be specific about what you're looking for. But St. Pete, a town of 250,000 people, has an extraordinary amount of creative people here. We have, you know, the university, Eckerd and USF. We have all of the brain power with Johns Hopkins coming down. We have all of the creative industries that we have here. We have particularly... Nathan Schwagler and Hank Hine over at the DALI, just do, you know, they do a course on innovation, which means it doesn't have a huge antecedent to it other than being willing to see what's new, what's good, what's out there.
Yeah. You know, Bob, you've lived a few different places. So, you know, what would you say to those interested in moving their family or business to the area? Would you recommend St. Pete and Tampa Bay in general? And why, if so?
Oh, definitely, because it's a friendly city, and I think that's important. And maybe all cities, when you scratch them far enough, are friendly, but this one certainly has been. And I think there are educational opportunities here on the you know, on the college, university level. There are creative opportunities on all levels, and, you know, and there are a variety of schools. One size doesn't fit all. And, you know, sample that. But then it's a quality of life, which is hard to measure. But if people are generally smiling, contented, I think that's a good thing.
Yep, very good. And so now comes to time for shout-outs. Anybody you want to give a shout-out to, Bob?
Yes. This person, in my view, and I have a lot... So all of the friends and family that I have in St. Petersburg, you know, you have the shout out. But there's a woman who moved to town 6-7 years ago, Susan Howard. And I think she's emblematic of a person coming to St. Petersburg for the very, you know, not the first time, but deciding to move here and really making a difference in the cultural ecology of our community.
Wonderful. Okay. And also, are you looking for corporate sponsors or individuals for donations there?
At the studio?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And as the boy said in Oliver, yes, sir, I want some more. You know, and there, one of the great things about St. Pete, there's a doctor. Her name is Dr. Karen Monroe. So she's a doctor. She's a family practitioner, and so she does the doctoring. But she shows such much more. She shows up to all sorts of events at all sorts of venues around town. So that integrated community support right. is unlike anything I've ever seen, even from a delicious city like Los Angeles. And I love L.A. like New Yorkers love New York.
Mm-hmm. And so you also, people can become a member of the studio.
Yes.
How can they do that?
Well, they can go online to studio@620.org. And or they can call up the studio. Are we allowed to get phone numbers?
Of course.
It's 895-6620 and speak to Darlene or Coralette, and they can sign you up as a member. And again, as I said, we do film, we do theater, we do dance, we do comedy, we do literature, we of course do art exhibitions, and we verb and adjective community, because we do community in a way that I think is very easy and accessible.
That's great. Well, Bob, that's the end of the interview. I really want to thank you for being here today, and thanks again for all you do for the community. And I really look forward to the next time you're a guest on Job Talk. So thanks, and best of luck to you in the studio.
Thank you, Dean.
And you've been listening to my guest today, Mr. Bob Devon-Jones, the creative director and co-founder of the Studio at 620, located in downtown St. Petersburg. They're at 620 First Avenue South, and just walking distance from our studio here. And if you're on vacation or a resident of St. Pete and Tampa Bay and are you're looking for a great place to enjoy a variety of art and artists, check out the studio at 620. For more information and all the events we talked about today, visit their website at thestudio@620.org. We're very fortunate to have this home for the visual and performing arts in our community. And now it's time for Job Talk Alumni Update. Our friends at the Island Reporter remind us again of the St. Petersburg Fine Art Festival being held on February 25th and 26th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on the grounds of North Straub Park in downtown St. Petersburg. The park will be transformed into an outdoor gallery showcasing extraordinary original handmade artwork, and there will be craft from exquisite works in painting, glass, mixed media, ceramics, sculpture, photography, metalwork, digital art, and more. So for more information, check out the article at theislandreporter.com. And our friends at Girls Incorporated of Pinellas remind us that their championship spotlight gala will be held on Friday, March 3rd from 7 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. at the club at Treasure Island. For more information on this event and this wonderful organization, please visit their website at girlsinc.com/Pinellas.org. You can also listen to the Job Talk interview with Christina Fortner, the executive director, in the archive section of RadioSt.Pete.com. They do some very important work there, so please support them if you can. And now it's time for my shout-outs today. My first shout-out goes to Brian in New York. Look forward to meeting you when you get in town. And to Therese and Matt, I hope we can schedule you to be guests on Job Talk soon. And so I hope you'll take the time to check out the Radio St. Pete website and explore all the music and shows that are featured. If you can't listen live, check out the archive section. We can listen at your convenience. There's something for everyone, and there are new shows in production all the time. You can always listen to past Job Talk shows, and you'll find some interesting and fun podcasts there, too. You can download the free app and listen anywhere you take your phone, tablet, or computer. That's RadioSt.Pete.com. Also, if you enjoy listening to this program, please tell your friends. Let me know if you have any suggestions for future guests. Plus, we're always looking for talent and contributors to the station. You can send those suggestions to me at DeanLogan@RadioSt.Pete.com. You can also send me a tweet or follow me on Twitter at Job Talk Host. I want to give special thanks and to Joe Bordeaux, Zoe, Kat, Joe, Andy, and the entire Big C team. I truly appreciate all of your support. And as always, I want to end Job Talk with this final thought and say to everyone listening, if you're thinking about relocating your family or business and are looking for a great place to live, work, and play, you should come visit and take a look at all the St. Pete and Tampa Bay area has to offer. I'm glad I did, and I think you'll be glad you did too. So thanks for listening, and until next time when we talk about jobs on Job Talk, this is Dean Logan. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Job Talk with Dean Logan, a presentation of RadioSt.Pete.com and broadcast live today from Big C in downtown St. Petersburg. Visit BigC.com to learn why top businesses turn to our experts to take their brands to the next level. That's BigC.com. And by Advanced Recruiting Academy. If you are underemployed, a college student, or looking for a career change, visit AdvancedRecruitingAcademy.com to learn about the art of recruiting. In 90 days, the master recruiters at Advanced Recruiting Academy will teach you the skills you need to begin a rewarding career in the recruiting industry. They do this for free, and students can earn commissions during their training. Visit AdvancedRecruitingAcademy.com, where they develop recruiters and deliver talent. Listen again next week at this same time for Job Talk with Dean Logan, live from Big C in downtown St. Petersburg.